This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Bored of too many ads and dull, meaningless chat? We've got neither. Joy Drive, smart, fun radio.
There's a family who are famous and they've been vlogging on TikTok, and you won't believe it, they are going through a divorce. Why? Well, let's find out. Dr. Edith Hill, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Warren. How's it going?
I'm well, thank you. I'm interested to find out about this vlogging channel family. What's going on there?
This is such an interesting and layered and complex situation, but I'm going to try and lay it out for you and for everyone listening. So this is a family called the Ace family, A-C-E, Ace family. And it stands for Austin, Catherine, and then the name of their child, which I will not say.
Okay.
And so this started as a family channel on YouTube, extremely successful, doing all the things that you expect a classic family channel to do. But they had gotten into many a controversy over the year, sometimes, you know, being accused of scamming fans, promoting faulty products, not paying people for coming to events that they had promised to pay them. It's a very complicated backstory behind this that I'm sure we could also talk about at another time, because it is very fascinating. Mm-hmm. But they have recently announced that they are getting a divorce, and the internet is going a little bit wild for this news.
So, the as soon as someone calls themselves an Ace family, I immediately think, what's going on here? But so what happens to the channel? Do they continue with it, or is it just to get attention on the channel?
This is such an interesting question. So something that I was completely shocked about is people were obviously asking, you know, what happens to the channel? What's going on? They have quite a large fan base that is predominantly younger people. This isn't a family channel that is typically watched by young people with families. I'm talking young people like primary, young high school kind of age, because it's very fun and silly and it's out there kind of, you know, it's big. It's a caricature almost, except it's not intentional.
Right.
So they have always promoted themselves as this big, happy, amazing family. And they've, you know, announced this divorce. And Austin, the dad, has said that their intention is to pass the channel on to their children, which is a very interesting and, I think, complex statement to have made.
I mean, the question is the divorce real? Are they doing it deliberately so that they can pass it on to their children? Or is it just to get numbers up? And do they make money from this channel?
So much money.
Because
I'm talking obscene amounts of money. Well, here's the thing. One of the reasons that people were criticizing the family channel before the announcement of the divorce was because the father, Austin, was a complicated character in many ways, and a lot of evidence had come out of him cheating on his wife, Catherine. And loudly and proudly in some ways. So he was, you know, caught making out at nightclubs. He was doing all this stuff, but then would go onto the channel and promote the traditional family values. And people were really frustrated at this. So he and Catherine both made statements saying that they were moving their separate ways. I personally believe the divorce is real based on a lot of my deep diving and research into the situation. But what's happening now is Austin is posting some very unhinged TikToks kind of talking about the situation and like what his next steps are now going through this divorce.
Does the wife have any ability to post on the network, or is he in charge of it all?
So they're actually posting at the moment, from what I've seen, on their individual channels. So they made an announcement together, like on the family page. They've also been talking separately on their own personal accounts about what's been going on. And Catherine has been very graceful in her approach, not really saying anything that I've seen anyway. And Austin has taken the complete opposite approach. He's been posting some very strange videos that people are making really funny memes about. He's been, you know, posting some weird thirst trap kind of things, which is very strange when you consider that his audience is actually very young. It's an interesting thing to watch.
That would be my concerns, is the fact that you mentioned young kids, you know, primary school age, potentially, mm-hmm. watching this fallout happen over TikTok. It's not a really good way to promote a healthy family, is it?
And I think if this wasn't a family channel, people would be thinking about it quite differently. But when it's a channel that promotes themselves as being this idealized version of a family, of course, things happen, parents break up. It's something I think almost every single person is familiar with on some level. Everyone knows if someone has gotten divorced, it's not that uncommon,
exactly.
Right? But promoting it in this way, talking about it the way he's talking about it with a young audience, after saying for years and years and years that you are the ideal family, then openly cheating on your spouse while still profiting off of this idealized family image is, I think, where people are a little bit upset.
One more quick question on this before we move on. Is mm-hmm. the potentially passing it on to the kids a way to try and save the channel so that they can keep making money from it?
I'm going to say yes, because why else would you do it? They are one of the channels that makes some of the most money that I know of on YouTube. They have posted, you know, mansion tours. I'm talking about buying two mansions in Beverly Hills, not big enough, and then combining them together because one mansion was not enough.
Oh my goodness.
You know, like obscene amounts of money. But then it's come out that maybe they weren't paying their rent on a certain place. They'd lied about purchasing a home. It's all very layered and very complex. But 100%, I think it's to keep making money. You don't have to be actively posting on a channel to still be receiving income. So the way the YouTube system works with monetization, it requires you to have been active for a certain amount of time or to have your monetization active. But for example, if you didn't post for a month, if you have a lot of subscribers, you are still generating quite significant amounts of income from people rewatching or people, you know, freshly discovering your channel. So that channel would still be bringing in a significant income to the family. So I think there is a want or maybe even a need to keep that channel active in some sense so that people can still watch and they can still get money.
Edith, now when you did your thesis, you did it on a particular person. Do you want to tell us about Abby?
Yes. So for anyone who is new or anyone who's just listening in, I did my PhD thesis on health and wellness life writing, which is the telling of true stories across Instagram, YouTube and TikTok. And so one chapter I dedicated specifically to a dietitian in Canada named Abby Sharp. And Abby makes, when I did my thesis, she was predominantly on YouTube. She's now also on TikTok, so you can go check her out, Abby with an EY. And she makes videos debunking diet claims or health claims or anything around eating and food. She debunks these claims that other wellness, quote unquote, wellness influencers have made and talks about the real science and fact behind these things.
Fantastic, because often, you know, these people claim the title wellness and they've got no credentials whatsoever.
100%. I could go online tonight, Warren. I could spend $100 mm-hmm. and I could become a quote-unquote certified wellness instructor or coach. Yeah. It means nothing. It is gobbledygook. It's just words put together in a sentence. It has no regulation, no, nothing like that. So if you see in someone's Instagram bio, certified wellness coach, garbage. It means nothing. Unlike Abby, who is a registered, $100. You can do these courses everywhere. Some of them are scammy and will cost you 10 grand, but it means nothing. The title means nothing. I could say it about myself today and it changes nothing about me and my expertise. Abby, on the other hand, has, I believe, a minimum of a master's in Canada. There are qualifying exams. There to be a registered dietitian or a registered nutritionist, as they are called in some countries, it requires a certain level of university education and a governing board that, you know, checks on you and makes sure you're not doing anything scammy, like selling detox teas that just give you, you know, the runs.
What are some of the detox teas? What are some of the things that Abby is debunking? Do you know any of them? Some of the most ridiculous ones.
Everything. Oh, my goodness. So what I first found her through was watching people's What I Eat in a Day videos. This is a genre on YouTube where people will do like vlog style videos about what they eat in a day. And they usually do it across a week, or they do like a recap of every week in that month or whatever. And it shows like their diet. So what Abby would do is she would watch these videos and not just critique, but would then add in food. So for a lot of these wellness or just general influencers online, they would be eating dangerously small amounts of food, or it would just be a bunch of different supplements and, you know, powders and crazy stuff that they're adding in instead of just eating, you know, a vegetable. And she would say, okay, here's this meal, but how about we add, you could add, you know, 30 grams of chicken. Why don't you have some tofu? Why don't you, you know, consider some extra whole grains? There's this really great bread you could have, da 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 da. And she makes recommendations on how to improve and make your diet more whole and more nutritious. So I love that about her, that it's about increasing often rather than restricting. So that part is good. But she also talks about, you know, the myths behind the skinny teas or, you know, adding essential oils into food. Do not consume them. Oh, absolutely not.
No way.
All things like that. So all of these videos are people saying, oh, well, there's this specific ingredient in something and that will cause you to hold on to your fat. And then she'll say, one, nothing wrong with having fat or holding on to fat, but also here's the science. She links to peer-reviewed articles that are open access, so you can go and look for yourself and you can read the research, which is another thing I love. Let's make research more accessible to the every person. And she really just breaks down the facts behind eating and nutrition in generally a very positive and accessible kind of way.
And I love that. That's actually one of the things we try and do here on Joy Drive, is we're trying to make research accessible to everyone rather than just having people claim that they're an expert in a particular field.
Absolutely. I say this to my students all the time. Hello, if you're listening. I'll ask you about it in class tomorrow. But I say this to them all the time. And I'm like, if I have said something and you don't understand, that is on me. That is not on you. My job as a researcher is to be able to communicate with you effectively. And if I've not done that, it doesn't mean that you're not smart and that you don't understand. It means that I need to do better to be able to help you understand where I'm coming from and the research behind something. And that's something Abby does really well. So she breaks things down, she uses really clear, accessible language, and she helps people understand the very honestly complex world of diet and nutrition, and does so from a place of, like, you know, compassion and care, which you often don't really see in these kinds of, you know, eating and health spaces.
Exactly. And I feel like during the pandemic, we got a lot of experts pop up that really aren't experts. So it's great to see that she's debunking those. Now we are going to revisit a trend that happened in 2020. Why are we revisiting it?
So I saw this video, I think it was even this morning or last night. The days have blurred together at this point, but by this creator, her name is Mary Ellen. And she posted a video saying, who remembers this trend from 2020 on TikTok? And this trend warmed the cockles of my heart. It was people playing a certain song that had some kind of lyric in it about, you know, I want to ruin my friendship or ruin our friendship. We should be lovers, not friends. And then people would play it to their best friend and kiss them in the video to see their reaction.
Wow.
And so it was often people who had crushes on their best friends, or who, you know, they were starting to get the feelings but didn't know if the other person had the feelings. So they would play them this video and then they would kiss and it would be like, oh my God, it's so exciting. And so Mary Ellen was like, I remember this couple and I remember their kiss and I remember how they, you know, touched the other person's neck and it was the most soft, beautiful, passionate moment. And where the hell are they? I want to know if it worked out.
Oh, so to where are they now?
It was a where are they now? So this trend, I remember it like it was yesterday, but apparently it was in 2020, which apparently was 4 years ago, which I personally struggle to believe. But there you go. That's when it was. And so it was a callback to, like, where are these people? Did it work out? And so what happened from then is people were stitching this video, which is where you cut the beginning of it and then add your own bit to the ending.
Mm-hmm.
And they were showing where the couples are now. And
so
let me tell
them.
You. They found some of them. These were hundreds of couples, Warren. Hundreds of people participated in this trend. I saw one that I remember from 2020 that got married and they posted their wedding pictures. I saw some that were like, we broke up 2 months later. And it was just this really fun look back at this kind of trend and how we don't often think about what happens after these things and what happens after we see these people. They've led us into a very intimate moment in their lives, or a very strange moment, depending on the video. But we don't really think about what happens after the trend. And I really loved that Mary Ellen's video called back to that.
I wonder if Mary Ellen will, I suppose, start a trend where we'll go, okay, you know what, let's stop the new stuff. Let's go back and revisit some of the old stuff and tie off loose ends and do a few where are they nows. Because I'm sure there's lots of things other than just kissing your best friend that have just been left up in the air.
I would love it. If she's out there, if she's listening, if anyone is, I love this idea. If there's a trend that you remember, go and check up on these people. It's actually quite easy to look up stuff from back in the day on TikTok. So TikTok's algorithm, you just type in a bunch of stuff, see what comes up. But you can also Google a person's TikTok name and then look at videos that have been stitched with them. If you get creative with your search terms, it saves you from having to scroll back for ages through a page because, you know, hundreds of videos from one person have been posted since 2020. So get with some creative Googling and you can go back and have a look and have a bit of a nosy poke around about where people are now, which is what I'll be doing tonight.
Now, I know your partner might be listening. So pre-partner times, did you ever have a crush on a best friend?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Never told them. Warren, when I tell you it was for 7 years and they still do not know.
Oh, no. Would you ever tell them?
Hell no.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, if they're listening, we haven't spoken in years. This was a childhood best friend. Never told them. Don't think they're listening. If they are, hi.
They could be. You never know. I like the embarrassment.
7 years.
7 years?
Yeah, 7 years.
Oh, my goodness. We have to tell them by the end of the year. We have to locate them.
You know what? I would be open to it and also not. It depends on if you catch me on a good day. Okay. Depends if you catch them on a good day. Oh, my goodness.
Lots of complications. Edith, great to chat with you. We'll talk to you again next week.
See you then, Warren. Bye.
Thank you. That is Dr. Edith Hill, Associate Lecturer in Learning and Teaching Innovation at Flinders University. You can catch Edith every Wednesday here on Joy Drive.
Joy Drive on Joy 94.9 FM in Melbourne, Joy on your digital radio, iHeartRadio, TuneIn.com or the Joy app, no matter where you are.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.